Well, can anyone remember what we was talking about last week? I know it's a long time, we've slept since then. Can anyone remember? Okay, let me say something else. God has really been speaking to me over these weeks, to Susan and myself, and there's some exciting things coming. Would you like to know what they are? Well, you'll have to wait till the AGM. I just thought I'd make sure you was paying attention. Basically, we're going through the prayer that the Lord says, do it this way. And I know that some of these things may be simple. You may say, Pastor, I've been a Christian for many years and I know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, when I was a wee boy, when I was a youngster, I went to Gaywood Park and every single morning they had an assembly and we recited that prayer. And I didn't realise what I was praying. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. I was praying a prayer over my school. I was praying a prayer over me. I was saying, there's something far bigger than I am. And sometimes I believe in life we can take the obvious and we can miss what God is saying to us. So I just want to bring a different spin on this. It's still truth, and I just want to expand on it. And we've looked at, in Matthew 6, 9, it says, this is how you should pray, Our Father. We've looked at what it is to be Father in heaven. He's Abba. There's times in my life and times in your life that you'll feel isolated. You know what? Doesn't matter if you're adopted or you have your natural parents still alive or your parents have died. We all have that yearning inside us for a father. I know for me, knowing that my dad died when I was 11, I had a yearning inside to be valued, to be protected. And for all my life, I was searching for a father figure. And I went to man and man let me down. And then God came into my life. I can say that I didn't go looking for him. I think he came looking for me. God came into my life and suddenly, the pages of scripture, I saw, Abba, I am your father. I will teach you my ways. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He will guide you. He will lead you. So we look at Father, what it is. And I want to remind us as a church that the commission that God's given us here on a platform ministry is to equip you for works of service. Is that true? So that when the wind of adversity comes, and it will if it hasn't, has nobody been through adversity yet? You need to sign up to the coming adversity course. I'll do that for you next week. Because if you haven't been through it, you will. Why? Because we live in the world. But you know what? We're not of the world. Is that true? If you're a Christian, you're not of the world. So this ministry is to equip you for those times, those tough times when you feel that you cannot do this anymore. And God says, but I am for you. And if I be for you, who can be against you? That's why for me, the Word of God, this Bible is illuminated to me. And I hope it's illuminated to you. I can bring you stories. I can bring you illustrations. But there's nothing like the nourishing food of His Word that will reach and penetrate into your inner being. Why? Because it divides. It divides. It will bring a separation. The Bible puts it like this. It says, the things that we do and the things that we say will be tested by fire. The hay, the stubble, the straw will be consumed. But the gold, the silver and the precious stones will remain. I don't know about you, but I want God to consume the stubble and the straw and the hay. And say, create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit. That's why. For me, it's a privilege to come and serve. Our Father who's in heaven, and there's a heavenly perspective. Last week we looked at hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. It's a name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And so often I meet Christians. They don't like to use the name of Jesus because it offends people. They don't like to talk about his blood because it's messy. But did you know that it's at that name that every knee will bow? Not my name. It's not about a personality. It's not about me as an individual. You know what? God doesn't need me. God gives me the privilege to do this. But he doesn't need me. If I don't do it, he'll find someone else. I need him. as that hymn just said. I need him, but he doesn't need me. Doesn't sound like good news, does it? No, Pastor. But he privileges us. He gives us the opportunity to take his word, digest his word, and to be ministers of his word. Because the Bible says, don't just be hearers, be doers. So, yes, I do like to see God's word put into practice. So today, we're looking at your kingdom come. So we're looking at his kingdom. So I just want to look at it on the outside. Now, I can't dig too deep into it. Now, God has, in his wisdom, and he is and he will be bringing people into this church that will do what we call a systematic theology. They will dig and they will dissect and they will go into it. For me, that's not how God has trained me. He's given me eyes to see, ears to hear, so I can just bring according to the gifting that he's given me. So I trust that today you will receive something. Kingdom. It means it's the rule of heaven over earth. A kingdom needs a king, yes? Without a king, there is no kingdom. And a king has authority. Is that true? Yes? So a kingdom needs a king. And a king has authority. Is it still okay if you're blessed? Good. Is it okay if you're challenged? Because if we're not challenged, we don't change. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit. It's about a daily process. Because I know that I'm human. In Matthew 2, verse 2, it says this, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. Now, it's not Christmas, I know. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? So here we see straight away that it's been prophesied. You look through the Old Testament, you look through, see what Nehemiah says about the coming of the king. You look at what the Old Testament writers say about the coming of the king. You look through scripture and it's foretold that Christ is coming. And here we see the King of the Jews. It says, we saw his star when it rose and we come to worship him. And what we look in a secular life is that when there's a king and there's a kingdom and there's authority, that king has worshippers. But I will suggest there's times where people worship their king because they have to. But we're called to worship our king because we get the privilege to. So this is about his kingdom, his will. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. In those days. In what days? The days that was prophesied of old. There's a day coming that there will be a root that's established. There'll be a branch that comes. Those days. John came. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And when we hear that word repent, it means to turn from. So we're going one way. And John is saying to the church at the time, to God's people, repent, come back to righteousness. He's not talking to the unchurched here, he's talking to me and you. If we were in that day, he'd be talking to us and saying, repent, come back to righteousness. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. What does he mean by that? He was saying that the kingdom of heaven has come to earth, that Christ is in the midst of us. Paul puts it like this, he says, I reveal to you a mystery. The mystery that was hidden in the Old Testament scriptures but made new and revealed through Christ Jesus himself. So when we talk about kingdom, we're talking about his kingdom, his rule, his authority. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50, it says this, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Let's go up to... Let's go up to 35. Let's start there so we can get some context into this. The resurrection body is the title. It says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? I think that's a good question. How are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Jesus says himself, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it will produce something. So when you take that seed and you plant it in the ground, something similar grows, yes? But it's not that seed, is it? It's not that, because that dies. That has to die. It has to be broken open so that new life can come. And Paul is using horticultural here. He's using these illustrations because people would understand them. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body, as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another. And star differs by star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Anybody who has any kind of illness, aren't you glad? I'm glad that there's a possibility I might be a bit taller in heaven. It doesn't say that in scripture, but I'm looking forward to that time. Maybe I will be a bit taller, but I know there'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. So when we look about his kingdom, we need to see further than what we see ourselves now. It's not just about these 70 plus years. That is but a snuff, as the Bible says, but a whisper. We're all going to be changed and changed in that twinkling of an eye. We're sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual does not come first, but the natural. And after that, spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Now for me, everything you need to know is in that passage, if you have ears to hear. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. We're talking about God's kingdom here. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. He's going to reveal something to us. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But there's always a good news. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I bring that scripture because when we talk about his kingdom, it's not just about something that is far off, because the Spirit of God lives within a Christian. Yes? Is that true? When we make that confession, when we believe in Christ Jesus, it says we're saved. When we're saved, the Bible says that he gives us a deposit of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing the full inheritance. We haven't got the full inheritance, have we? We've got a deposit. But that means we've got a deposit of Christ living in us. If John could say in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, that means Christ is near us. If Christ is in you, then his kingdom is near you. But there's an inheritance. I want us to grab the fact that this is about an eternal perspective, because we don't hear it very often. See, Jesus is coming back. Did you know that? Did you know that? And did you know that he's closer to coming back than what he was last week? So we need to be like the virgins, don't we? The wise ones. We need to be ready. That's another sermon for another day. Luke 17, verse 20 said this. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that you can observe, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." I'm already here, he said. And we know that he's gone back to sit at the right hand of the Father. So the kingdom of heaven may be within us, but there is a kingdom perspective, an eternal perspective. There is only, I was looking through this the other day, and you know, you realize that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he says to me that when I die, if he hasn't returned, I will be with him. Before that, when people died, before Christ went and conquered death, they'd be in paradise. But now we can be in heaven. But for me and you, when we walk through this life, this troubled life, this turmoil, where we see wars and rumors of wars, we need to know that that's what the Bible says. And this isn't about scaremongering. This is about giving you confidence. Confidence to share your faith, because this is about life and this is about death. This is about life eternal, life in all its fullness. This is about you being the answer to the question. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, who did he come to? If we go up to verse 16, it says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, Jesus said, where I go now, you can't come, but I'm coming back. And if I come back, I'll prepare a place for you. I'll take you to be with me. And he came back and he rose from the dead. And he said, I want you to meet me at this mountain. And the disciples are there, and it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, these are the church. And I want to suggest to you that sometimes in our lives, we know the truth, but we can doubt it. And you see, what doubt will do, it will rob you of kingdom now. What doubt will do is rob you of kingdom eternal. Because the enemy comes to rob and to steal, yes? There was a, Julie and I, some years ago, we went to America because there was a so-called phenomenon going on there with a whole Todd Bentley experience. And we said to each other, well, if this is God, let's go. And if it isn't God, well, that's a good opportunity just to get away for a week. And we went, and we can honestly say that where there's lots of people who love the Lord, there'll always be an experience. But that was all we experienced. We didn't experience anything else. But when we was going in, we got there on the Wednesday, and Julie and I walked in, and there was a couple behind us, and they were a couple of ministers from Wales, I believe. And he had a face that didn't look very encouraged. And I said, are you okay? And he said, no, I'm not. Me and my wife, we're pastors, and we're going to give up. Now, this was supposed to be a revival where people got inspired. Can you imagine, you come to church and then I preach a message and you go home and say, that's it, I'm not going to believe anymore. Oh my goodness, you need to slap me the next week. Because that's what he was saying. And I said, what's the problem? Now, the devil wants to get you on the floor so that he can stamp on you. Now, hear what I have to say carefully and just put the spiritual side on this, because God does what he wants to do. You see, we start in order, and my prayer is, God, if you want to bring disorder to our order, then you come, because this is your church. So he said, on the Tuesday night, if I get this wrong, Julian will correct me. He said, all the English ministers were lined up, and they started to pray for them, and they all started to go on the floor. And he said, it's just me and my wife standing there, and we think God doesn't love us. Now, can you imagine? I don't know if you've ever been in one of them meetings, but I have. And you think, God, what's happening? Now, this rose up out of my spirit. And I just said to him, if the shepherd is on the floor while the wolf was at the gate, the sheep will get eaten. And he said, what do you mean? I said, if the shepherd's on the floor while the wolf is at the gate, the sheep will get eaten. You see, the enemy wants to put us on the floor so he can trample on us. But we're to be alert. If God puts us on the floor, then we'll get up changed, yes? But when the enemy puts us on the floor, we get up depressed and we can't do this anymore. Don't let the enemy put you on the floor. Grab a kingdom perspective. Don't doubt. Pray that prayer. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. But these were the disciples that walked with Christ. So how much harder is it when we have faith in him, but we didn't walk with him? But he gives us the opportunity to walk with his spirit. Why? Because kingdom is in us, but there is a kingdom to come. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Because he's a king, he's been given authority over the heavens and the earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if Christ is in us and we're in him, if we're in the Father, the Father's in us, the Son is in the Father, and the Spirit is in the Son, it means we're connected, we're family, yes? And I know this may sound as if I'm going all over the place, but I'm not. I'm bringing it right back to that authority. Jesus said to those disciples, all power and all authority has been given to me. And he is saying this, so I give it to you, go. See, God doesn't send you out as orphans. He sends you out as children. If he sends you out as children, that means you have a father. If you have a father, that means you have everything that the Father has. Do you know what? I don't know when I die if I leave any natural stuff. But if I do, that will be my children's inheritance. Yeah? So my children are going to get what their father has. But you know what? For me, I want them to get it now, not when I die. I want them to experience the blessing now as well as when I die. It's the same in the spiritual. I labor this point because as Christians, when we walk through troubled times, do not allow the enemy to put you on the floor. Stand and stand firm because your work is not in vain. Because there is a kingdom and that kingdom has authority and that authority has been given to us. It says, in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Yes? So when we pray in his name, his authority, covered by his blood. So this is about kingdom, yes, and it's slightly different to what you're used to. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. This is about his kingdom, his principles. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. I listened to a preacher some time ago, and he was a young pastor of about 24, he said, and he inherited this church of about 1,500 people. He said, the first sermon that I preached was this one. He said, I thought I was going to empty the church. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And people thought he was talking to them. Well, there was some religious in the building, and I guess he was. But he says this, not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. And we'll come on to that in another week. Who is in heaven? So this is our Father who is in heaven, your kingdom come. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? And this is a warning to me and you as Christians. And why I say this is because my privilege is to protect you. It's to protect you and to see kingdom come in your life. And there are many false teachers around. They have a form of godliness, but they deny God's power. They say the right things. Have you seen them? Have you heard them? They use the name of Jesus. They use the word. I don't even know where we were, Susan and I. We was on holiday somewhere, and I turned the corner and said, welcome to the church of Satan. Come and join us in worship and hear the word. Now, is there something wrong with that statement? So we've got church, we've got worship, and we've got word. So those that don't understand their scripture may go and listen to the worship in the church under the word of Satan. You see, if we as Christians don't understand the authority of God, then his kingdom can't come in us. His will can't be done in us. He can't lavish everything that the Father wants to lavish on us because we present him. This is a good message because it's a message that will protect you against false teachers. What does God's word say? That's why it's important for us to read on a daily basis, to meditate on his word. Me, I ate. Lord, what are you saying to me? Father, I heard Pastor talking about this, but you revealed the truth to me. Tell me, show me, show me, show me. Kingdom. In Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the peoples one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You know, we read scripture and there's no goats in scripture. There's found sheep and lost sheep, but there's a picture here, the same as wheat and the tares, the same as the good fish and the bad fish, the same as the sheep and the goats. There is a judgment coming for all of us, those that are in Christ and those that are outside of Christ. And church and scripture is about the whole truth, isn't it? It's not just about just the things that make us feel fluffy. It's about the things that will challenge us and say, Lord, I am your people. I am your child. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, three in one. Father God, I believe in your communion. Do you know what? There are people in churches today, they don't want to take communion because it's all about his blood. It's too messy, but not in this church, eh? Would you agree? Not in this church. There are churches that don't want to preach the word because it's just too long. What do we want food for? Surely if we eat too much food, we'll get fat. I'd rather a fat Christian than a skinny non-Christian. On this word is what I'm talking about. So there's going to be a judgment, but that's bad news. But God says to me and you, we are his children, and he has privileged us with that opportunity to preach. In John 3:3, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, listen, in other words, I'm making a statement. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And if you empathize with anyone, you should empathize with Nicodemus, because he was a ruler of the day. He should have understood what Jesus was talking about. To be born from above is what it means to be born again, to be born from God. And he says, you cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born again, unless you are born from God. So that means that Spirit of God needs to come and enter into our hearts. Yes? Anyone agree? Amen? And yet, the same is true today. You cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born again, unless you're born from above. How do I become born from above? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you later. He went on to say, how can they be born a second time into the mother's womb? And Jesus goes on to explain it's a spiritual birth. It's something that you can't fathom. You need to understand it. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus came, said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would have fought. He's there and his servants are in a battle and they want to defend him. But he says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. There's an eternal perspective. Christ is coming back. That's the good news of the story. He's given me and you an inheritance. In Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And is not the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. This is talking about provision. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get concerned about that. I'm going, Lord, how? And he says this to me, and I'm going to say it to you. Look at my word. What does my word say about you? Andrew, all power and authority has been given to me, and I give it to you. And that's not for us to stand and say anything other than we've been called to wash feet. How many of you would like to be in leadership, to lead God's people forward? Anyone? Anyone? Well, if you do, I could take my shoes off. You could start washing feet today. Because that's what it means. Is that not true, Jackie? It's to be a foot washer. In fact, when you look on Planning Centre, and he's got eloquent words down here. He's got the worship band, vocals. He's got PA, and then he's got foot washer. He's trying to think of a word that would sum up me. He's got me down as a foot washer. Not a truer word was spoken. Is that not true? If we desire to be in leadership, if we desire to see people come into his kingdom, then that's what we are. But we're going to worry about certain things. Or is it only your pastor that worries about life sometimes? But Jesus says this to me and he says it to you. This is a kingdom perspective. Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. Righteous is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's a word for someone today. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, those outside God's grace and God's goodness, run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows what you need, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The kingdom is Christ come to earth. The kingdom is Christ gone back into heaven. The kingdom is in us, and the kingdom is an eternal perspective. There's a kingdom, and we're a kingdom people. God has given you and me power and authority to use his name and to use it wisely. He's given you and me power and authority to humble ourselves, become a servant, and wash the feet of those that are dirty. He's given me and you the privilege to pray for our enemies so that God blesses them. He's given me and you the privilege to preach the gospel. He has saved you. Why? I'm glad you asked. So that you can be the word in season and out of season. But if you haven't got it, you can't give it. So my prayer is that you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things in life will be added. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be a blessing. In Acts 29, my final scripture, there's a jailer. Take the time to read the story. I'll get on to Paul and Silas another week and tell you their story. But a jailer called for lights, rushed in to trembling before Paul and Silas. God had been working mightily in these two men. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wouldn't you like to have the power of God on you so much that people come and rush to you and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And so often in my life as a Christian, as a minister, as a father, as a husband, as a son, I've tried to complicate God's word. But it says this, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." So how do we grab hold of that heavenly perspective? Believe in the Lord Jesus and we'll be saved. But shouldn't we tell people to repent? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. You'll turn from your old life and you'll turn to him. What does that mean? Repentance. That means that's what you've done. You've repented. So may I say, if there's anyone in our room, and I think I know most of you, but hey, we just don't know, do we? If there's anyone who say, "I've never received that kingdom experience, that I want that kingdom. I want to know that I have a heavenly perspective and I want to know that kingdom living in me now. I want that deposit of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to have that power and authority to bless people, to encourage people, to wash feet, to forgive, to trust, to humble myself. I want that authority that will show me Christ and him crucified. I want that understanding that will show me the scriptures illuminated. I want that understanding that when I pray that prayer that God gives me, I can say he's my Father and he's in heaven and I'm going there. And his name is awesome and his name is holy. And I'll use that name to bless people, not to curse them. And I pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come. That your kingdom will come. Well, I ask you to believe and put your trust in him. I'm going to pray and close our meeting. As I said, his word is to equip us, to challenge us, to change us, so that when the wind of adversity comes, we'll know the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. We will know that we are his children. And when the enemy tries to put you on the floor, the Bible says, stand. Stand firm then with the full armor of God. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you'll be tomorrow. But I do know that we live in the world and the enemy tries to put you on the floor. So I want to lift up your arms today. I want to be an instrument for the Lord. I want to be able to say to you today, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I want to say to you, if you're standing on the mountaintop, pull someone else up there with you. If you're feeling that God is blessing you, bless someone else. If you're in the valley and you know someone else who's up on the mountaintop, hold your hand up so they can pull you up. Let's be a church that will gather together and proclaim his good news of the kingdom. That's the gospel. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, may you come. May you work in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you come and examine us, Lord? Would you come and encourage us, Lord? Would you come and bless us so that we may be a blessing to our community? Lord, we may stumble and fall, but Lord, we ask you today to pick us up, to put us back on straight street, that we may be your hands and feet and your pockets, that we may be the glory, that we may be the kingdom now and preach the kingdom to come. Father God, we thank you that we have an eternal inheritance. We thank you that we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But Father God, while we're here in this earthly tent, bless us that we may be a blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.